Blog Talk Radio.
Salam alaikum. Alaikum salam.
Namaste.
Shalom.
From Alaska to Australia, Jamaica to Japan, peace and love. Every man and woman,
good people in Japan,
good people
in Kazakhstan,
good people
in Ethiopia,
good people
in Pakistan,
good people
in Brazil,
good people
in Colombia,
good people
in Afghanistan,
good people
everywhere you know.
Life takes on a whole new beauty.
And that's what we're about here at Temple of the Infinite Universe, is exploring that oneness, talking about that oneness, entering into dialogue with others to explore our commonalities, to explore our common ground that we have, and to demonstrate in words as well as in deeds that we are all one. And this week I've been toying around with a broadcast schedule. As I said in our last broadcast, I had a lot going on over the summer. I missed several months of broadcast time here on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm trying to settle down into a regular broadcast schedule. And I was thinking about doing it Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. For some reason, that seemed natural to me. But then my wife and co-founder at the Temple of the Infinite Universe, Heidi, reminded me yesterday that Wednesday is her scheduled day off, and she wants me to have the day off with her. And not only is tomorrow her day off, it's also her birthday. So I'd like to take some time here to say happy birthday, Heidi, as of tomorrow, Wednesday, August the 19th. And, you know, those of you that talk with her on Keen Network in Spanish, she does tarot readings in Spanish, remind her that it's her birthday tomorrow and tell her that you heard it here. And who knows, she might give you 5 free minutes on her tarot reading service on Keen. But, no, she reminded me yesterday that Wednesday is supposed to be our day off, so I thought, okay, I'd better honor that, especially better honor her birthday tomorrow. We're going to be taking that off. So I got rethinking things, and I thought, well, instead of Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday, why don't we do it Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday? And I originally was thinking we'd be doing it 7 p.m. at night. But then I got looking. Pagans Tonight is broadcasting sometimes at 7 o'clock, sometimes at 8 o'clock. And that's a show that I'd like to kind of keep open on my schedule as well. So all things considered, I'm thinking that our future broadcasts will be Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, 6 p.m. until 7 p.m. And until we start having a problem with that, I believe that is the schedule we are going to keep to. So look for us this Thursday at 7 o'clock, excuse me, 6 o'clock. And we'll get settled into a schedule and just keep this thing going. Our topic tonight is divination and tarot casting. And one of the first questions I have up here is, what is divination? Second question, can anybody do it? And a third question, should anyone do it? And I think before I get into a discussion of tarot casting, I am first going to get into divination. Because divination is a misunderstood term, as far as I'm concerned. When people hear divination, they automatically think two things. One is somebody foretelling the future, either by tea leaves or gazing in a crystal ball or tarot cards or reading palms. Usually people think of divination strictly as foretelling the future by supernatural means. And that's a good definition of divination as far as it goes, but I really don't think it goes far enough. To me, divination is that and so much more. But that's the first thing people think of when they hear divination, foretelling the future. The second thing people think of when they hear divination is that, oh, this is a weird occult practice. And it's something that I'm not too comfortable with because it is occult. And people tend to equate occult with something bad, something evil. And really, occult just means hidden. It doesn't necessarily mean that something is evil. It just means that something is hidden from common view. And in order to understand it, you have to look at it more openly and more deeply. And that's true of divination and tarot reading in particular. That it is something that's occult. It's something that, you know, you don't go to the grocery store or go into the coffee shop and expect to see a person sitting at a table doing tarot readings or practicing divination. It's just something that is not that common. It's becoming more common in our world. In our little area here in Hickory County, Missouri, I was surprised to see for market days on the 4th of July, I was surprised to find a lady sitting at a table doing tarot readings on our city square. I mean, our little area is more of a fundamentalist backwater. We have a lot of Baptists. We have a lot of Disciples of Christ and Church of Christ people running around. A few Catholics, not that many pagans. But we did have a lady sitting on the city square doing tarot readings during market days, and that was a refreshing change. Something pretty neat to see, I thought. And, you know, these occult things, they are growing in acceptance. They are growing. People are beginning to try to understand things more. But there is still, in some circles, that fear that this is something that is unknown, it is uncommon, it is hidden, you know, for the most part, from the public eye. And people fear what they do not understand. But I'd like to clear the air with that. First of all, by giving my definition of what is divination. And as I said in my opening, divination is partly to do with foretelling the future, but it is also, for me, joining in oneness with the divine, or the world of spirit, as you understand the world of spirit. The first part of divination is connecting, making that connection with the world of spirit, and feeling at peace, at one with the world of spirit. And before you do anything with tarot cards or crystal balls or tea leaves or palms, you first have to make that connection, open that line of communication with the world of spirit as you understand the world of spirit. And you know, we all have our different understandings. We all have our different ways of doing things. And so for different people, you know, this connecting will take different forms, perhaps involve different rituals. But it's the first thing we have to do if we want to do divination and do it right, is connect to the divine in whatever way we understand the divine. And anybody that's on any kind of a spiritual path, whether you call yourself Christian or pagan or Muslim or Jew or Hindu, Buddhist, atheist, you know, whatever, whatever your spiritual path is, you do have to take the time to connect with the world of spirit in whatever way you understand spirit. And it may be a very simple understanding. I think that simple is the best, just understanding the world of spirit as pure, unconditional love. And before you really try to do anything by way of divination, you need to connect with that world of spirit, connect with that source of love, connect with that source of being, hang out with it, commune with it. And that's the first step. After you do that, the rest really is easy. You may choose to ask questions. A lot of people doing divination, that's their whole idea of divination, is asking questions. You know, what will the future bring me? What do I need to understand about myself in order to grow spiritually? See, divination isn't always just about predicting the future. Sometimes we connect with the world of spirit in order to better facilitate our own spiritual growth, in order to understand more about ourselves, why we are the way we are, you know, what makes us tick, why we react to things the way we do. If we're wanting to develop a love relationship with somebody else or enter into a business relationship with somebody else, and to do so successfully, we have to understand, you know, our flaws, our weaknesses, why we do the things that we do, why we sometimes behave in immature, irrational ways. And when we learn to face the divine and face ourselves honestly and ask some deep, probing, honest questions, then we open ourselves up to great spiritual growth, great personal growth, great personal change. We are prepared to take responsibility for what goes on in our lives. And this is a key point, I think, in my practice of divination. So many times when you're dealing with other people who want to have their cards read and they're wanting to figure out what's going wrong in their life, a lot of times they're willing to point the finger of blame at other people or at circumstances or at God as they understand God or Goddess, or point the finger of blame at the universe and just say, I am a victim of circumstance. You know, everybody treats me bad. I'm being persecuted. And they're not yet ready to take responsibility for their own life, for their own personal growth. They want the cards to give them something of a magical spell that will make everything all right, that will make other people fall in love with them or will make their business deals and personal finances flower and blossom. And divination isn't really just about that, because in that pursuit, you're skipping a very important step, and that is the step of taking personal responsibility for your own flaws, for your own weaknesses, for your own character defects. You know, some people don't like to admit they have them. Others of us see them, deny them, blame them on somebody else, but then slowly over the course of time, begin to see them for what they are and begin to try to make bold changes to overcome these defects of character, to grow spiritually, to grow up, become more mature, and to begin to take responsibility for our lives. And slowly we begin to realize that it isn't just up to the world of spirit whether or not we will ever find love or whether or not our personal finances will take off and flower and blossom. It's up to us. Are we willing to do the legwork? Are we willing to take chances? Are we willing to open ourselves up emotionally and intimately with other people? And that's important whether we're talking about love and romance or whether we're talking about finances and business deals. You know, we do have to open ourselves up, make ourselves vulnerable, take that chance. You know, if you go to a tarot reader and you ask, what's my general energy for success? You know, and the tarot reader does the reading, and he or she looks at you and says, oh, you've got beautiful energy. You've got great energy. I mean, yes, you have everything it takes to be a success in this world. I mean, I've never seen energy this strong. And if a person walks away from a reading like that and says, well, I've got great energy. I don't have to do anything, and then chooses to do nothing, kind of like having a car with a tank full of gas. You have the potential to go places, but if you don't get inside that vehicle and turn the key, you're going to stay stuck. You're going to stay put. And that's the way it is sometimes with folks that want to have tarot readings done or divination done, and they hear that they have good energy or bad energy, and then they choose to do nothing with it. If you do nothing with that energy, whether it be good or bad or indifferent, nothing is going to happen. So in a tarot reading or any kind of divination, we have to open ourselves up to the divine. We have to be willing to listen to what the world of spirit has to say to us. Sometimes it's pleasant, sometimes it's not so pleasant, and sometimes it can really piss us off, to just use the vernacular. You know, sometimes it can really anger us, because sometimes the world of spirit does not tell us what we want to hear, folks. A lot of people, they go to get a reading done, and they expect to hear something nice. And sometimes the reader complies with that and tells them what they want to hear. But to me, that's not a good reading. Maybe a pleasant reading. It may be, ego stroking, which it is. Makes the people happy, but it does nothing for spiritual growth. And to me, that's what we're talking about here with divination. We're talking about something which should facilitate spiritual growth. And if at the same time it makes the seeker happy, then great. But it should also challenge the seeker. And from time to time, it may scare the seeker. I don't like to scare people, but, sometimes these messages can be scary, and that's where the tarot reader has to do his or her best to explain things, break through that fear and say, look, it's not really all that bad. It's not the end of the world, but it is going to be a challenge. And readings should challenge the seeker. It should challenge us to grow, all of us. Otherwise, it really doesn't have the power that it should have. So, to me, divination is a combination. It's a combination of connecting with the divine, listening to the divine at the deepest possible level, and then learning from the divine, asking questions. Sometimes we may have some definite questions. And when we open ourselves up to the world of spirit in an open way, world of spirit will take our definite questions and give us some definite answers, providing we are open to hearing the answer. Sometimes we ask questions to which we really don't want to know the answers. I think that's part of human nature. And when that situation opens up, then I believe the world of spirit wisely chooses to withhold some of the answers. And sometimes we may approach spirit and divination just wanting to learn more about ourselves, and I think that is really the most noble path, is just saying, look, spirit, I want to know more about my connection with you. What are my growth areas? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What's the lesson I need to learn this day? And then just being quiet, letting spirit answer us, and taking action on the answers once we have them. I'm going to take a break and play a song by Sun Palace, Give Me a Perfect World. And then after this, I'll get into tarot reading, an explanation of tarot reading as I understand it, and tarot casting.
Over the horizon.
Okay, I'm going to get back to my original questions that I started off with. What is divination? I think we've covered that. And now I'm going to get into can anybody do it and should anybody do it? And here I'm going to be responding to the questions relating to tarot, you know, tarot reading in particular. Can anyone do it? And I would have to say the answer to that is definitely yes. Anybody can do it. It is an occult practice. It is a hidden art. But, you know, it's really hidden in plain sight. You can go on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble's or go into, I guess they're still around. I got my first deck at Spencer's gift shop. Or was it Barnes & Noble? I don't know. It's been about 40-some years ago. A lot of water under the bridge. But, you know, they're freely available and reasonably priced, usually. If you got $20, $30 to spend, you can get yourself a nice tarot deck and a little instructional book that goes with it. And you can sit down and with time, patience, if you do a little bit of meditation on each card, you can kind of get familiar with the deck, learn the meanings of the cards, go deeper on a more intuitive level, and connect with the world of spirit through the tarot cards. And it takes time, takes discipline, takes study. But yeah, anybody can do it. I first got into tarot reading in high school, and I think it was shortly after I saw the James Bond movie Live and Let Die, kind of a cute action adventure movie involving tarot and voodoo and voodoo land and all that. And kind of looking back, it doesn't present voodoo and tarot in a very positive light. Kind of paints it in a very negative light, but it presented it in a fun sort of a way that was entertaining, and I saw that and thought, you know, I want to get myself a deck of cards and see what I can do with it. And I went into the bookstore, got my first deck of cards and a book that explained it. It was the Rider-Waite deck and Introduction to Tarot by written by Waite, and just sat down with it and practiced and studied it and practiced. And at the time, I was in high school seminary, and I made the mistake one week of taking the cards with me to seminary, and I was doing readings for some of my classmates, and a lot of them were entertained with it. They were curious about it and became rather popular doing readings until my spiritual advisor at the seminary heard what I was doing, and it really scared the hell out of him because he was coming from the point of view that tarot is a part of the occult. The occult is hidden, and therefore the occult is evil. And he took me aside and tried to put the fear of God into me. And he did. I backed off of the tarot for a while. But then after a while, my curiosity won out, and I went right back to it. But, you know, if somebody is in a situation where they're living with people that are afraid of the tarot, that think that this is an evil practice, that this is a scary thing, then it might be wise to keep it to yourself. Go ahead and study it. Go ahead and learn from it. But, yeah, don't freak people out unnecessarily. Sometimes we do have to freak people out in order to help facilitate their spiritual growth because, you know, I believe then and I believe now there is nothing evil about the tarot. It's just usually associated with the occult, with sometimes somehow got the association, well, Live and Let Die did this, associating the tarot with black magic and evil sorcery and whatnot. But, you know, tarot is a tool. It's a tool that we use to connect with the divine. And it can be used for good, it can be used for evil, it can be used for anything in between. It's not inherently evil. It's not inherently bad. But, you know, if you have that superstition that, hey, this is of the devil and we shouldn't be messing with it, then I would say don't be messing with it. And if you're dealing with folks that have that opinion and you want to live at peace with those folks, then maybe you shouldn't be messing with it. Maybe if you do, keep it to yourself. And I'm getting to that point, can anybody do it and should anybody do it? And, of course, anybody can do it. But you have to be grown up about it. You have to be mature about it. Some people can take the cards and just go on an ego trip saying that I am the great man or woman of the world of spirit, and I am going to tell you what you need to hear and what you must do, and just be a real self-fulfilling prophet. And if we approach the world of tarot with that kind of immature attitude, that I'm somebody special because I can read the cards, and I am going to give it to you, both barrels, nothing held back, no sugarcoating, then I think we're setting ourselves up for a fall, as well as the people that come to us for advice. Because, you know, when people come to us for advice, they're trusting us. They want to know how to improve their life. You know, if they're coming for the right reasons, what I call the right reasons. And even if they're just calling to find out, you know, will I ever find love? You know, will I ever be a success in life? You know, what do the cards say about this business deal? Or is my boyfriend, girlfriend cheating on me? You know, even then, they're trusting us to give them good answers, to give them good information, to give them some really good insights. And if we're going about a tarot reading from the viewpoint of being on an ego trip and just stroking our own egos and feeling power over another person, then we're losing sight of a very important thing, and that is helping other people. If you're doing tarot or divination from the point of view of wanting to help another person, then God, Goddess, bless you. You know, you're going into it for all the right reasons. But looking back on myself, when I was first doing it back in high school, you know, I was wanting power. I was wanting to feel that power. I mean, being able to read the tarot set me apart from my fellow classmates. And it set me up for a stern lecture from my spiritual advisor, too, because he thought this was definitely something I should not be messing with. And I think with my first point of view of doing it from the viewpoint of ego, yeah, he was right. I shouldn't have been messing with it, not at that time. Not because tarot is wrong, but because my attitude about tarot wasn't the best. You know, I've grown up over the years. I no longer feel like I need to stand out from the crowd. You know, I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm comfortable being me. I'm comfortable with my spirituality. And so I no longer really try to use these things to get attention. I've learned over the last few years that it's better to use these things, these practices, these disciplines, to help yourself grow spiritually and to help others grow spiritually. So when it comes to tarot reading, anybody can do it. It just takes time. It takes practice. It takes personal spiritual growth. And should anybody do it? I would say no. Not unless you're doing it for the right reasons. Now, if you're doing it from the perspective of wanting to learn more about the world of spirit and how you relate to the world of spirit, then great, do it. And if you're wanting to do it from the point of view of wanting to help other people grow, then great, do it. But also beware, you know, if you feel like you're just doing it for your own self-glorification or to glorify your ego, then back off from it for a while. Grow spiritually. Take some time out. Take some time out to really talk with spirit and let spirit tell you where your growth areas are and what you need to do and in order to become a better human being and a better tarot reader and a better person in general. But that's what separates, you know, the true seeker from just the recreational reader, is that we want to grow spiritually. We want to connect more closely with spirit as we understand spirit. And we want to make this connection out of love. Love for the divine, love for our fellows here in this world, love for ourselves, the proper love. And it doesn't come overnight. It takes time. It takes patience, and it takes practice. And once you get to that point, then love is the law. You're approaching things from the viewpoint of love of spirit, love for yourself and other people. And you are above the law. You're above any religious or spiritual law. You're tuned into the power that all these laws come out of. And you are really in a very wonderful and beautiful place. But it takes time to get there. It takes practice, it takes patience. And none of us get there immediately. I'm going to take another break, play another song by Sun Palace. This one, Love Saves. And then I'll finish up with my discussion of tarot casting. Okay, now we're going to go on to tarot casting. And, I've got a low battery here, too. My goodness, how'd that happen? I'm going to get another handset here. Okay, am I still connected? Hello? Okay, I don't know if I'm still connected here or not. I am going to continue on as if we are. I know how to check. There once was a time. Okay, I'm sorry about that. I need to invest in better phones, it looks like. Yeah, we are on the air. Okay, great. So, okay, we're going to talk about tarot casting. And, okay, let's say you go to a tarot reader or you read your own tarot cards, which I do quite often. If I'm faced with an uncertain situation and I feel like I need spiritual guidance, I go directly to the world of spirit in whatever way, you know, using prayer, using meditation, using the tarot cards, and I will try to find out on my own, you know, if I can, what's going on. And if that fails, then I'll go to another, you know, reader. Fortunately, I'm married to a very good tarot reader, and she'll give me her insights and her guidance. She gives me her guidance. We're married, so she gives me her guidance about 5 or 6 times a day, whether I ask for it or not. It's married life, and it's wonderful. but let's say you go to the tarot, either directly reading for yourself or you go to a tarot reader, and you get an answer that you don't like. Do you just have to sit back and accept it? Or can you do something about it? And I would have to say that from my own experience, most of the time, when you get an answer from tarot, that answer is not written in stone. It is changeable. If you're asking a question about the future and the answer you get is not favorable, I would say probably 9 times out of 10, you have the power to change that future outcome. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes it is written in stone. Sometimes things are certain. And that's where you just have to suck it up and accept it. But many times, we have a say in the matter. If we get an answer that we like, a positive answer, and then we take no action on it, a lot of times that positive outcome will not come about because we chose not to do anything with the advice that we were given. And by the same token, if we get an answer that we don't like, an unfavorable outcome, or an outcome which seems unfavorable to us, we do have a voice. We can go to the world of spirit and say, hey, I don't like this outcome. What can I do to change it? And a lot of times, the future that is foretold is not the future that must be. It is the future that might be if we don't grow up and do something about it. And to me, what tarot casting is, let's say you do a reading for yourself or somebody else, and the outcome isn't favorable. You can take that unfavorable card and either turn it upside down, reverse it to change the meaning of the card, and say to spirit very forcefully, with feeling, with emotion, visualizing what you want to see and just say, Spirit, I don't want this outcome. I want this other outcome. Work with me in making this outcome come into being, come to fruition. Or what you might do is you might take the negative card and kick it out of the reading entirely and replace it with a card of your choosing and use it in a way that says to the world of spirit, this is what I want to see. This is the future that I want to have realized. Now please work with me and tell me, what must I do to make this outcome happen? And a lot of times the world of spirit will work with us. When we approach tarot in a prayerful manner, you know, wanting to tell spirit what is going on in our life, listen to spirit to find out why things are happening to us in the way that they are and what the likely outcome is going to be, we also have the power to go to spirit prayerfully and forcefully, if need be, and say, look, this is what I want. This is what I want to see happen. How do I make it come about? And how can you help me to make this come about? And if it is a good and noble aim, Spirit will help us in our quest. If it's something that is not good for us, like if we're asking, you know, I want to win the lottery. I want $1 million by this time tomorrow, and I want it. I want it bad. Sometimes that can be a good thing. Sometimes that can be the worst possible thing that could ever happen to us. I've heard many, many a story about folks that have won the lottery, won big at the lottery, and within a year, had their entire lives turned upside down, ruined, were bankrupt, because they just weren't ready to handle that kind of a windfall. So if we're asking for something that is good from the world of spirit, we can use tarot to petition spirit for something that we want, take the cards, lay them out. Instead of just dealing them out randomly, we lay them out in an ordered pattern as if to say to spirit, look, this is what I want. And we can focus on the cards. We can use them to visualize the outcome that we want, to feel deeply that outcome that we seek, that outcome that we desire. And those of us that are bad at visualization, I'm very bad at visualization, that's where we can use the images on the card to help our flawed ability to visualize. And, you know, the tarot can serve as a crutch to help us visualize our petition, to visualize our want, and to use that energy to go back to the world of spirit and just say, hey, this is what I want. How can I go for it? How can I join my power with yours to turn this vision of mine into a reality? And if we are in tune with spirit, and if we are wanting the greater good, not just for ourselves, but for others, for our loved ones, and if what we ask of the world of spirit will not slow down or stymie our spiritual growth, then I would say 9 times out of 10, the world of spirit will work with us. And we can take what started out as a tarot reading, just randomly dealing the cards, trusting in spirit to guide the cards and to guide our understanding of what the cards are saying to us, and more properly, what spirit is saying to us through the cards. then Spirit will tell us what we need to hear. But we can also go from that to saying, hey, this is what I want to see in my life, and taking the cards and laying them out thoughtfully, deliberately, not randomly, and saying to the divine, as we understand the divine, this is what I want. Help me make this a reality. And if we believe, if we know that the world of spirit is listening to us, if we sense, if we feel that connection, if we know for sure that we are not separate from the world of spirit, that we are connected, we can sense that connection, we trust in the world of spirit as a child trusts a parent, then our odds of having our prayers not only heard, but answered, are very good. But again, we have to be willing to do the footwork, because it's not just in the hands of spirit. It's also given into our own hands. And are we going to work with the advice that spirit gives us and work honestly and openly and bravely? Or are we just going to sit down and let the world pass us by and do nothing with the advice given? It's all up to us. If we seek advice and we act on it, then we can expect good things to happen. If we seek advice and we do nothing with it, well, odds are good we won't get what we want, whatever that is. So that's it for tonight, divination and tarot casting. I hope I've helped some of you with my observations, and please keep in mind that this is just my own personal experience. This is how I approach tarot. Other people are going to have other experiences, other ways of doing things, and it's all good. You know, other people have their ways, I have my way. Who's to say what's right and what's wrong? It's just our own little prejudice, our own way of doing things. And I share it for that, for what it's worth. This is how I see it. I'm going to close here with a little song by Celtic Reggae Revolution, You've Got to Laugh.
Always been. So don't let it.
has been a broadcast of the Temple of the Infinite Universe Incorporated on Blog Talk Radio. If you'd like to learn more about the Temple of the Infinite Universe, check out our website at www.hermetictemple.com. Until later, have a blessed evening, and we will see you when the proper time arrives.